Welcome to episode 192 of Drunk on Comics. Tony here with us in the studio with Linz and Derek, who thank you for showing up this week, Derek.
Fuck you, it was my birthday last week. I was busy.
Well, happy late birthday for you.
Thank you for not remembering.
Oh, we remember. Did you listen to the podcast last week?
I didn't have time.
Yeah, we wished you happy birthday like every 10 seconds.
That's good to know.
Except for now that now that it's a new week, I went through and scrubbed all of it, so you'll never hear that.
Thanks, guys.
But this week, we got into some fun reviews and news.
We reviewed Turncoat number 1 from Boom Studios.
It was pretty cool.
Yes.
We also made the most inappropriate beer or booze in a book pairing in 192 episodes.
Yes, that was quite terrible. We did have some fun talking about the new Civil War spider underoos.
Oh.
Speculating on when we're going to see the iron suit, Iron Spider-Man, as well as the comic book Civil War and some more fun stuff with that.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, we covered a new company that's trying to make it easier to read comic books on your cell phone.
We talked a little bit about our excitement for C2E2, just briefly.
Yes. So anyways, sit back and relax and enjoy Drunk on Comics, episode 192, Too Soon.
Suck.
Fuck you guys.
Fuck
I'm going
Tony.
Home. I'm home already.
How's your remote control Millennium Falcon treating you?
Pretty good. I had hid that in here so that Milo wouldn't
destroy it
because I know that he would, just like he destroys everything else.
Yep.
Fun time, dude. Babysitting my nephew.
The one time that, like, when they brought Evie over to our house for like the first time, Milo came in. Just started screaming and running in circles in our living room, bounced his head off our glass table, and just was like, ow, and then kept doing it. I was like, oh my God,
well,
child.
Well, did he do it because you guys laughed? Because if you laughed...
No, I was just staring mortified at him as he ran in circles and then just hit his head on the table as he was going, ah, that, that, that!
That's awesome.
And then I had to convince him.
Energy. It's great.
Had to convince him there were monsters in the basement, so he wouldn't go down there.
This is where I think that the people that are making that huge, like, perpetual energy machine needs to tap into his blood, like his DNA. My nephew just is. I can't explain it.
He really needs like one of those hamster balls or like a wheel, just to power things, because they wouldn't have an electric bill anymore. He would be on that all day. Just ah, da, da, da.
No, he's adorable. Come on, guys.
He's got, like, cocaine energy.
That's great.
Yeah, so half of my weekend was spent doing that. The other half was probably one of the more cooler themed parties I've gone to.
More cooler than...
I mean, nothing beats Winterfest, but, I mean, if you guys go, which... You didn't go. Yeah, and Lindsay, you haven't ever been, so fuck you two. You're not my friends.
Why? Well, excuse me.
Sorry, I had things going on that day.
Put up with your stanky ass every Sunday. I think that makes us friends.
Burn.
But this party was a meat party.
I like meat parties.
I bet you do. You're talking about sausage fests.
Oh, okay.
Which then did tend to turn into that as well. But regardless, one of my friends who came up with the idea, he was saying how they used to do with their family and friends is... wintertime, a meat party where everyone brings like a dish, like some sort of sausage, meat, steak, bacon, and that's just a lot of stuff that you would eat while drinking. And then he goes, in the wintertime, there'd be a fruit party. So other fruity things, fruity drinks. Just,
in the summertime?
Yeah.
Fruit parties, Tony's kind of party.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's I'm looking.
Either, he likes meat and fruit parties.
Yes. And
they kind of go hand in hand.
They
don't
do.
Hey, you know what? You guys would be fucking loving this party when you went there when bacon was just continually being baked.
That's like, pretty awesome.
There was always a plate full of bacon throughout this entire thing. When my buddy who prepared these flank steaks.
Oh, I love flank steak.
Amazing. Also had some steak because he works at a chef food place. Had some steaks that were wrapped in like pork. Not bacon, but like in like a, I don't even know what the hell, but.
Like pork belly?
Yeah.
Which
is
like,
bacon, but yeah. But it wasn't
fat bacon.
Yeah. so good. And then, of course, the people that brought the Slim Jims, or they brought, like, some nice beef sticks from, you know, a local deli. I kid you not, I love steak, but I do not want to see anything.
Your cholesterol for a week. Levels are probably through the roof.
Oh, all of us were talking about the next day at the Chili Fest, which also was a not too great on the stomach.
Too much from meat to salt, all right, and spices.
Yes, we've definitely.
I'm scared that we're stuck in a closed room with him.
I know.
Gross.
And then add the beer and booze and. I'm a gut buster ready to blow.
You are. Did I ever tell you about my friends and I's idea for a meat draft?
No.
I think this is, like, a great idea that more people should consider. We were talking about, between, like, four of us, buying a side of beef and then having, like, a snake draft to take cuts of meat until it was all gone.
Okay.
I just think it's a great way to divvy up a side of beef without someone just taking all the good stuff. I just thought it was a crazy idea. Like, just get it butchered into all the different cuts and everyone just picks one. It just works your way down until all the meat is gone. And then you have a fridge or freezer full of beef.
I'm down for that. Let's get that going.
Meat draft!
Yeah. Oh, you boys.
I know.
And your meats.
Well, I'm a little unprepared this week. First time ever.
Yes.
Really?
He was out of commission for the week. And not because he was drunk the whole week.
No, it's because my fucking internet was down. Get this bullshit. And this is straight up, I say conspiracy theory, but when it's truthful, it's not a conspiracy theory, it's just the truth. My internet goes down. Simple, you know, could be something or other. It's blinking on my modem, so I call AT&T. Fuck you guys. And
so they're not going to sponsor us anytime soon.
Well, I wouldn't want them to sponsor.
The evil empire.
They raped me hard, they rape everyone hard. And you can't say no, you got to say yes.
That's what makes it rape, I think, right?
I have Comcast, the other evil one, because AT&T is terrible.
Well, they're both evil.
Oh, they're both.
But here's what happened. So a couple years ago with the modems, they made you buy them.
Mm-hmm.
So they made me buy $200 worth of equipment that I'm like, well, fuck, I need the internet, so I guess I'm going to buy it. They have, in their heads, thought, well, shit, people aren't really upgrading. They're not doing anything else. How can we tack on fees without raising their prices? Oh, we'll start renting the modems now for $7 a month. So you have this, you know, installation / modem fee that mm-hmm. now costs people more. Because in the long run, you're going to be using the rented one as long as, you know, does it. But they replace it. Whoop-de-doo. So they're telling me that my modem was trapped. I was like, it's not. It's still reading the wireless signal. It's saying that no internet's coming to the modem. It's the lines. Well, $140, we can come out there, or you can get the new modem, and then we can check it out for free. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like good business practice.
No.
But whatever. Okay, maybe it is the modem. You told me it was the modem. It's the modem. Hook up the new modem. It's not the modem. It's the line, like I said. So finally, I get a technician over here 5 days after the fact that I called in, and he's checking it. He's like, no, it's not this line. Nope, it's not this line. Maybe it's at the fiber optic box. Like, I learned a lot about their distribution and everything. Dude was super cool, and I was kind of nerdying up of, like, how internet goes down wires and stuff. But he comes back later. Yep, someone snipped a cord down at the big main box.
Mm.
Oh, so it wasn't the modem. It was the line, like I said. Explain to him about then these modems. So I can probably hook up the old one and send this one. He goes, yeah, I mean, if you bought that, that's yours. So I go and I hook it up. Actually, I just take a step back. The moment after I talk to AT&T on the phone, talking to them, not the modem. Okay, send me the new modem anyways, because that's what you say I have to do. Not half an hour later, my wireless signal from the old modem that was hooked up isn't being picked up. Like, somehow my old modem got cut the moment they realized it was the old modem. Because as we've come out, it's not the modem. If we're still following this theory here, they fucking disabled my old modem to make me pay for their fucking goddamn $7 a month modem. I hate you, AT&T. This was a long rant that I really didn't need to go that long in depth in.
I feel like you needed to get that off your chest, though.
I had the same issue with Comcast before. Like, they would, every single year in the spring, my internet would just, and TV would just go to shit. And they'd be like, oh, it must be the modem or something. I'm like, no, it's the lines. The lines in the neighborhood are garbage. This has happened 3 years in a row. They're like, no, it's your modem and your cable box. We'll send you new ones of those. I'm like, no, send someone out. And the guy goes, yeah, I'm going to check everything in your house because I have to. I'm like, okay. And then every single fucking time I would tell them exactly what was wrong. And they'd go check it down the road, and sure as shit, but no, no one fucking listens to me in this situation, because I've only experienced it 3 years in a row, you sons of bitches.
Yes, it annoys the piss out of me, because their infrastructure, just like everything else in the U.S., is not reinvested in. Infrastructure needs to be reinvested in, which means you need to pay money to fix your shit to keep it up to date. Telephone lines? When's the last time you've really seen telephone lines or any of those lines, internet lines, being fixed? Never.
I remember when Comcast came out to my parents' house and dug through the whole front yard to put new lines in like 15, 20 years ago, and then did such a shitty job of putting the sod back down. There's like this giant bump in our yard.
Oh.
And my dad was so angry. He kept calling them and just bitching until they sent people out again to fix it, because it was horrible.
No, but see, that's 20 years ago, and I think that maybe technology, maybe the same lines as long as they're not broken, but still, they get tax credits. That's why they can own these things, is because they're supposed to fix them.
Right.
They're not doing their part, so fuck you, let's get Google Fiber in our town. And, yeah. And anyway, let's get into comic books,
yeah,
shall we?
Fuck you, AT&T and Comcast.
Yes.
Let's talk about some cool stuff instead of some shitty stuff. So we'll start with our review, because we read a super awesome book this week. And actually, this is another preview, because it doesn't come out until next Wednesday.
Yay, look at us being ahead of the game for once.
I know. So, again, we're going to try not to spoil too much of it, but it was really fucking good. So, it's called Turncoat. This is number 1 of 4 from Boom Studios.
Please, tell us who wrote it.
Okay. You guys are so mean to me. So this is written by Alex Pacnadel. And illustrated by Artyom Trakhanov.
It's Trakhanov.
Trakhanov. How do you say that first name?
I believe it's
Artyom. Artyom. Artyom.
Artyom.
That's a great first name.
Trakhanov. Trakhanov. It's very, very Russian, like, and Eastern European sounding.
Yeah. Colored by Jason Wordy. That was easy.
Why is the colorist last name Wordy? You'd think he'd be like the letterer or something.
Well, it's lettered by Colin Bell. So, this book is essentially, it's another futuristic tale, I assume. I guess it could be current, alternate.
Yeah, I guess, but it seems more future-y, especially considering the technology they have and the aliens and all
but
that.
That's the thing, though, where I guess you'd always assume that it is future-y when you look at things, but time, I guess, is irrelevant. It's more or less if there's advancements beyond us in the real world.
We think it's future.
Because, because, yes, let's say this is 2016, and aliens did come down here, and we got, well, like, Independence Day. You look at that world, that's present day, but they got alien technology too, which makes them look like they're in the future, and that new Independence Day is coming out 2016, so I understand what you're saying.
Right.
But let's just say it's future-ish, yeah.
Yeah, so the beginning of it is during an alien, I wouldn't even say an invasion, it
just
seems like
they've
been here for a while.
Apparently it was 300 years they had been there.
Wow.
So
yeah, this has to be future then.
Yeah. You don't see a bunch of, like, freaking, like, Renaissance men running around with alien technology on their heads. So.
And you could go with, and you know it's not another planet, because they're in New York City.
Yep.
In this comic book. So, the aliens, it's called Management.
Which is a weird name for a group of aliens, but
I know. I think that maybe the aliens did some research on Earth first and tried to figure out, like, what the scariest term they could think of to call themselves. And they decided to go with Management.
All these people, they hate management, man. They must fear management.
We'll go with that. So this follows Marta, who is a police for the Management.
Yes.
And turns out, maybe not so much.
Kind of did one of that last minute switch over to the other side to help them, and then now everyone kind of hates her for doing that.
Yes.
On both sides.
So, the first panel, and this won't really spoil too much because it kind of sets the whole story up. The first panel is, like, them finally getting, like, a leg up on Management and getting them kind of off the planet a little bit, winning one battle in the entire war.
Woohoo, we got that going.
And it shows her turning sides, essentially, being the turncoat, which is the title of the book. And then it jumps, well, it shows her getting attacked and stuff like that, and meeting up with the guy who heads the revolution.
Yes.
And then it skips ahead 5 years later. After management has kind of left, but it seems to me like they're not entirely gone. It's more like
a lot of lingering, like, management stuff is still in the world. Like, while they may not be in control, like, the people are trying to come to grips with what happened and still trying to live in that same way as if they were controlled for 300 years.
That's what I want to know more about management.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do I work my way up the ranks to management?
Middle management. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it seems like...
Final person, the leader is called Final Boss, and it's like a game. Final Boss Battle.
So clearly, with them being around for 300 years, they've instilled themselves into society. You can't be under somebody for 300 years and then just be like, oh, well, they're gone now, back to normal.
Yeah.
And they still use all kinds of alien technology.
Which is super fucking weird.
So the one part, and this is further in the book, but the one part that got me was when the guy was on the phone.
With his, like, Bluetooth, like, glued to his
head.
Yeah,
it was like a little alien, yes, like, almost like... Flintstonian type breezy.
The technology seems like kind of like weirdly symbiotic.
Yes.
Kind of.
Exactly. Which reminded me a lot of, did you guys ever watch Falling Skies?
Yes, a little bit.
Oh, yes. I just finished that series.
Yes, it kind of reminded me like a little bit of that, this whole dynamic.
That is, exactly. Except for that, like, there was less battles going on here and that we're at the tail end of Falling Skies. But yeah, they're,
Yes. So, and that's what I liked about this book is it's not the aliens invading and people trying to fight back.
They're already there.
It's afterwards. It's them recovering from actually maybe kind of winning the battle and showing how people are recovering and trying to get over all of this stuff. And she is still... Nobody likes her.
No.
Ooh, on either side. They all think of her as
A turncoat? Like, a Benedict Arnold, if you will?
Not on in their face, you know. So she jumped ship, but the people on that side don't like her too much either, because my guess is she seems untrustworthy.
Well, I'm very curious, though, and this goes towards the panel layouts, which I thought was really unique and cool throughout this entire story. And I feel there's another book that had this this kind of type of, like, where there's circled stuff or like small little like extra
to like draw your attention.
Yeah. And so that there's something specific within this giant panel to zoom in on, but it's not taken away from the dialogue that's going on, or like a smile or like a face that shows up when someone's like a giant crowded scene in it. And I thought that was really cool and in depth for this book. But the first one that we see is with the chick with, you know, her day begins with an absence. And the scar on her stomach. And that's where I'm kind of like, what? Did they take, like, an alien hybrid baby out?
No, she got
shanked.
She got eviscerated.
Yeah, but did something get taken out of her?
Oh.
Like, maybe she was, like, something that they haven't alluded to yet. Or did she have, maybe her appendix came out and, like, she's now... I mean, I guess the panic's not, but I'm looking at War of the Worlds, where, you know, a simple common flu, you know, sent the aliens away. Did she have something that scar was there? Or is it just showing that?
The scar from when she got her guts spilled out?
I keep taking, though, the first line of that part of, you know, day begins with an absence. And is there something that was taken? Okay.
Or something was damaged by getting stabbed that she's missing that she has, like, some sort of issue with.
And maybe it's just me reading into this panel, but, like, that being the first, like, zoom in, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, that could be something that they're going to get to later. If not, doesn't need to be. Not everything is be in-depth, and it could just be, like, one of those red herrings.
Right. But. Well, and another one further in is when she's, because she becomes, like, a private investigator, essentially. And when her new client walks in, and it shows her looking at the picture of the kid that she's supposed to be looking for, but then right next to it, it circles in on just a bunch of envelopes with some symbols on them. And I have no idea why they're trying to call attention to that.
Yeah.
So, I feel like...
I was the same thing. I was like, is there something with these envelopes? Like, are they all the same, like, from the same person? But, like, what... Yeah, what does that symbol mean?
Right.
And it has to mean something if that's how they storyboarded this out.
Yeah.
And how the artist, like, decided to zoom in on that. But the dialogue didn't show, so it's kind of like... I'm hoping that maybe in, like, the next issue they, like, all of a sudden show the little whatever that... It looks kind of like almost a...
Like a radioactive symbol, almost.
Yeah, or something that all of a sudden that shows up on, like, a door, in which case you know, oh, that's coming from there. Holy cow, that was... And if they don't, once again, though, it's so interesting in a comic book that you don't need to take care of all the threads. You can have, like, a Game of Thrones where there's a lot of shit going on, but there's the main story. Let's follow the main story. Who cares about the side stuff?
Right. Well, and I think when artists and writers add little stuff like that, that maybe it doesn't mean anything. But they just want to draw your attention so that, like, you can kind of almost build the story bigger in your own head.
The nice thing, too, with, like, leaving those threads open is it gives you room to write something different as, like, a side story or allow someone else to do that off of that. You're not leaving just the super linear path for the story to hold.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't really want to go too much into what happens towards the end of this book. But I will say that they get a little bit into the idea of human-alien hybrids, which I thought was really interesting. And I would love to see where that goes with the rest of the story. Because fucking A, that one, the nun, I think she was.
It was creepy.
She was super creepy. I cannot even imagine. Like, I think nuns are kind of scary to begin with. But having this nun that's like... She wasn't even a hybrid. Like, she's
just in, like, an alien shell.
Yeah. When she was born, they put her in an exoskeleton that grew with her as she grew. So, essentially, it's part of her now. But, oh, my God. But my favorite line is when she walks away from this nun and she's like, why don't you tell him how you pee in that thing? Because I've always wondered. And then that made me think, too. How does she pee in that thing? That's a good question.
Maybe her creepy alien suit eats pee.
And oh, maybe. Excrement.
Hey, shit demons.
Yes, there you go. But it's a very interesting story. It's hard nowadays to really get into, like, alien books because there's so many of them. So many. It's like the hot thing right now.
It is, but it kind of went from, like, zombies to aliens, I would say. But this had a fun take on aliens and something a little bit different than, I guess, hasn't really been done.
Right.
You can see ties to things that, like you said, Falling Skies and things of that nature. Yeah. But it is definitely its own, like, unique story, which is
yes. Cool. Going with the aftermath, I think, is definitely a bonus on their part. And the art in this... This style of art is one of my favorites. It's like that. There's detail, but it's like almost kind of muddy, so you really have to look at it.
And the coloring was kind of the same way, too. It kind of gave like a desolate, like dirty world that kind of played in well with that. So.
Yes, lots of line shading, very ink-heavy art, which I think when you're dealing with something that's post.
I thought you were going to say Pocahontas right there.
Post-apocalyptic. I just merged the two words together into one. I think is helpful to get that feeling of griminess. So, I'm totally going to read all four of these.
Totally. And everyone should go out on Wednesday and pick it up.
Yes. Turncoat number one from Boom. Check it out.
Awesome.
Boom.
You know, you should check out if you haven't yet. Deadpool. If you have checked it out, you should check it out for a second or third or fourth time. Released today, it has officially surpassed Man of Steel and Iron Man at the box office and it's slowly becoming a top grossing comic book adaption. It's in the top 10 right now. It's already passed, as I said, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Man of Steel, The Amazing Spider-Man, and Captain America Winter Soldier on that list. A lot of people thought that the success was because is in February. Typically, there's not big budget movies there, so that's where it got all of its money up front, and then it was going to peter out. Well, it's still continuing to climb. People are still going to see that movie, and they're now seeing that it's more successful than Iron Man. Holy shit.
Right.
As of right now, it's at $328 million domestic box office.
Wow.
That's not even, you know, going around the world.
Yeah.
Did they say when it's at worldwide? Because I would love to see it beat Passion of the Christ as the number one R-rated movie.
I thought it did already, didn't it?
I thought it did already.
Did it?
Yeah.
Thank God.
I know.
No.
Oh, that was perfect.
Oh, that was unintentionally awesome.
That was so perfect.
No, I did, though, see, though, a lot of people still, and we've mentioned this multiple times on the show, about what the comic book industry, film industry is going to do with this success of this R-rated movie. And it's still continuing to be a conversation when I don't think it should be. This is Deadpool.
Right.
And we've said it before. It's what works for this approach to this, you know, comic book hero. Maybe if they did a Punisher, that should be rated R. Right. You do PG-13.
Stupid and ruins the point
of
the character.
You do that with, I mean, Daredevil, I think, could be a little bit of a both. It could get darker.
Yeah. Well,
obviously, the Netflix series is definitely TV-MA / R-rated for it. So,
but I'm saying, though, that's a character where you could go a little both ways. You could be a little more Matt Murdock-ish and make it a PG-13. But there are certain characters that just need to be well done and are. Why do we still talk about this?
It's ridiculous. Make the movie the rating that fits the character. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's an R character. If on the comic book it's M for mature, that should be a rated R movie.
Really waiting for that gritty R-rated Lumberjanes.
So R characters should always be rated R?
Yes.
So any pirate movie?
R.
You're an idiot.
That I am.
Hey, Tony, what's a pirate's favorite color?
Yellow?
R. Green.
I was like, I don't know what the hell you're going to say, so I'm just going to say it. I guess black would have been a more of a good guess, but...
Speaking of Lumberjanes, did you see that
they're
doing a crossover with...
Yeah, with DC. It's like their first Boom and DC crossover, so...
I thought that was kind of cool.
I love crossovers. I don't feel they happen as much as they used to.
Right, yeah.
Or they're not as bigly publicized, but every single one I feel has been... one of those unique, awesome experiences, because it is an event, but it's an event that takes two readers that may not read both books, and you get to learn a little bit more. And
yeah, I think I'm wondering if this is like DC trying to push into more of like the indie comic world, because they're also doing, not that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is really indie anymore, but so they're doing the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle crossover, and now they're doing Lumberjanes and Gotham Academy.
I feel like they're just trying to pull readers.
Yeah.
I mean, but it is two properties that do work together for the type of characters.
Sure.
And
yes. I have never read Gotham Academy, but the art is great.
It's very Lumberjanes-y looking. Yeah. And I think that by doing that, it helps, one, bring them more readers that they may not have had that stick to the Lumberjanes property, and vice versa. So it's a strong move for both publishing companies to do something like this.
Yeah.
I would love to see Marvel and DC do something
again.
Yes,
remember that one from like back like 20-30 years ago?
Yeah, the amalgam.
Yeah.
And then,
well, they did
the verse each other
versus
too.
Marvel universe. Yeah,
like Lobo versus Wolverine. Yeah. A bunch of weird stuff.
But then they had it where they were then combined for like 3 months, where Dark Claw, which was Batman and Wolverine, and
Spider Boy,
which was Spider-Man with Superboy, and they all, because the worlds collided. And really, that got like some interesting weird, because of, besides superheroes being easily able to fight with different power levels, it's really the mythos of the gods and how those universes are created.
Mm-hmm.
That whole crossover created a weird dynamic, because you have Marvel super world where the Living Tribunal, there's the one above, which is like God, but then Living Tribunal is like pretty much the god of everything, because the one above doesn't ever show himself. You have Watchers here and there, which you could kind of almost say Watchers are kind of like
what are the Celestials, or is that what they're called?
Celestials are also, and then you have like, you know, the Anti-Monitor and the Monitor. You have the Guardians. You have all that stuff within, but then you have the Spectre. I think that's from DC.
Spectre?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's like the voice of God or whatever, who's like super powerful, so he doesn't really show up that much. So you have all these different things, and yet some of them sat out for this fight because there was two giant celestial gods, which were then the brothers, as they called it. And could go in depth. That was a really good series, but it really kind of fucked with
yeah,
with their whole worlds.
Yeah, it was probably good. It was just a short-lived...
Yeah, but yeah. I'd still like to see, like, right. a relaunch of just a month of fun of...
That would be awesome. One of my favorite... And it's not really a crossover, but one of my favorite things... It's kind of a crossover. Stan Lee did, like, origin stories for all of the big DC
books. Yeah.
Those, I thought, were great.
Yeah, they were all a couple issues, and they all had an underlying story of the Universal Church or something, which I believe was a Marvel thing that went along with Adam Warlock and everything. That was cool. That was different. At first, I was kind of opposed to it, so I didn't read them when they first came out. Right. But years later, I was like, I should pick this up. And
it was cool. And he gender swapped a bunch of them, too. So there was a lot of female characters that were most of DC's.
Derek, do you have a favorite crossover?
You know, that's a good question. I got to think now. put me on the spot.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
I mean, I'm still waiting for Voltron and Power Rangers to meet.
I'm surprised
I want a GoBots Transformers crossover would be what I would really want, Tony.
Transformers just shaming you. The GoBots the whole yeah, entire I was gonna say, time.
GoBots would both the Decepticons and Autobots would be like, all right, truce.
Aw, the preschoolers are here.
Short bus just dropped them off.
Yeah, I can't really think of a favorite crossover off the top of my head, but I did like... I guess it's not really a crossover, but I liked the whole Spider-Verse storyline with all the Spider-Mans coming together.
Yeah, that was cool, but we're mainly talking about two different companies.
I know, but it was a crossover of same property comics.
I know. I guess what I was going to say, so I'm glad you threw that in there before. I was going to say there was one that IDW had called Infestation, which had Transformers.
Was it X-Files?
G.I. Joe. The X-Files had something else recently, but they had G.I. Joe, Transformers, Turtles, and something else. And where... That actually went into continuity, at least as far as I know, with the Transformers line of comic books, where it then this weird Cthulhu-ish symbiotic like demon monster thing went into those pages. So that was like a cool event because it was a side event, but then it went into the main storyline, right. Which most of these crossovers, nothing's ever mentioned again, mainly legally you can't say another person's name.
Right. You can't.
I thought of one that was fairly recent that made me laugh because it was entertaining. The Star Trek Green Lantern crossover.
Oh yeah.
That one was good.
Just like Star Trek characters getting different colored power rings, and like it was absurd, but it was fun.
Yeah.
So.
You reviewed the first issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. You read all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It just stayed ridiculous.
It
the whole
was
time.
So ridiculous through the whole like I think it was six issues. Just Star Trek characters with power rings. Just battling, like, Klingons and stuff. So absurd.
Interesting.
Well, battles. There's a lot of battles going on in comic book world right now. Almost like if it's a war.
Oh, like a civil war.
I don't know why you're trying to be so cheesy. Segwaying into some of this shit. I could have just said, hey, let's talk about civil war.
Yeah, let's talk about the civil war. First of all, let's build on what we talked about last week and how more of these... Rumors.
Teasers. Nobody yeah, well, they're not rumors. That. They're the teasers. Like little posters of who's going to fight. And it's all about the protect the future, fight the future, blah, 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 future. And
future.
And in one such one that just was brought about was X-Men and how they're going to join the Civil War. And trying to say that this was all going to be just like the previous Civil War. The X-Men sat out on that, so where is their war coming from? And now it seems like the Civil War is going to have two fronts. The X-Men are going to be fighting the Inhumans.
Right. Sounds more like an all-out war.
Yeah.
Than a civil war.
Total war.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Because that's two sides in that internal
it's
faction.
So they're doing essentially two separate storylines within Civil War.
I'm sure it will cross over.
Well, yeah, they're all going to have some hodgepodge of how it probably all gets started. But, I mean, it goes down with the Terrigen Mist, which has been going around the world, which hasn't killed all the mutants, which I think it would have by now.
It gives some, I think some of them are immune, but it gives some of them, like, the M-pox. And it makes some of them...
Really bad heartburn.
It's been a while infertile. Since I read some X-books, so to be honest, I don't know how it's affecting them. But that is kind of strange and interesting, though, if this is... Because what the hell is with the mutants? They either overpopulate and they're everywhere, or then they somehow get wiped out to come back down to a select few.
I think you have to do that with the X-Men every once in a while, because there are so many
good
of them.
Culling yeah. of X-Men.
But then they like to create new ones.
Yes.
And we don't even know what happened to Hope and the New Lights and all that shit that happened with and Messiah War to find the more mutants. We got to look at the original Civil War when they were down to the 198, and that's their
storyline. They had their whole thing separate thing
that came out of the House of M as well.
Yes.
However, they were decimated down to a select few. Notice how they're getting called off by the Terrigen Mist, almost like in the original Civil War. So there are some very strong parallels besides everything else that seems like it's a hodgepodge repeat of one of their greatest story arcs ever. Getting into some of these other teasers, there's one of Hawkeye who he's going to choose a side. Like, which side does he choose? To be honest, he's got his wife and kids and everything. At least,
just sit this one out, Hawkeye.
No, or he's going to be on Cap's side of, I don't want people to know my name.
Right.
So really, it's a no-brainer which side he's going to choose. Plus, if we're going to look at how they are from the movie, which I'm assuming the comic book teams are going to be very closely related to the movie teams. It would be really asinine to have Black Panther on Cap's team and Hawkeye on that one to confuse most people that are trying to read something that's similar. So I'm seeing that why that
and it's just Hawkeye the male, not Kate.
Yeah, so it's like that was just a weird why that was a dumb teaser. There's another one of Rocket fighting Star-Lord, and within that even it seems like more and more things are confirmed from the teasers or the rumor mill
from Boogie Woogie.
Yes.
Boogie Woogie.
Boogie Woogie.
Was that really the person's name?
That was his his online poster name, yeah.
But plus also that the Guardians, which had nothing going on, well, they had shit going on in their world but they were not Earthbound.
Right.
So, of course, trying to get more things on Earth, which Earth does not need to be the nexus of every story. I enjoyed all the spacefaring books. Because it was like Star Trek on acid. Like, they're exploring new worlds, but they have powers. And it would be almost as if they always had the Green Lantern rings going in. So, the whole thing is talking about the yet-to-be-named death of the hero that then sparks the debate of should we use the Inhumans that can see the future's ability.
To stop,
stop future crimes.
Minority Report.
Yes.
And I just don't.
You think they're going to kill Jean off again?
They really like war right now. That seems to be like the Marvel theme.
But because what we already talked about last week, though, Jean seems like she's going to be getting some Phoenix stuff. And so if this is about a person's death that starts it, it's someone's death. So, like, who do you think is going to die beforehand that's going to make this all-out war?
Well, we already know it's not Captain America because he's making a comeback. Old man Captain America.
Old man Steve.
Not Falcon Captain America. So,
there's a lot of different.
It has to be somebody that could, like.
Well, as the rumor already was She-Hulk as well as Rhodey.
Yeah.
Which I could see, Iron Man then going to shit if Rhodey died.
Well, and then to tie it again to the movie, in the trailer, they show him getting blasted out of the sky. Who knows if he dies or not?
He's comic book dead. It looks like he's dead, and he'll show up in number two.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they're trying to tie it to the movie, then.
Yeah, that was another. Yeah, that's a good call there. Yeah. I don't know.
But.
At least it's better than hammers falling from the sky. I saw someone talking about that on a podcast the other day and I always just blank on that name. What was that crossover? No? Silence?
No nothing? Idea.
You know the one where it was with Thor's or Odin's brother?
Where everybody got a hammer and became Thor-ish.
Forever Evil. No, not Forever Evil. That's DC. God, man, I'm losing track in my events. All right, I won't even go down that tangent then.
Crickets.
So, speaking of movies and Civil War, I would imagine that both of you watched the new Civil War trailer.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah, trailers. I mean, my news feed blows up with any there's a lot of news that we could always talk about each week, but it's always the ones that get circulated the most, and
yes,
people really love them movies.
They do, and people love to bitch about trailers. And in this one, the major bitching point was Spider-Man and his appearance.
I thought a lot of people were happy that they finally show him showing up.
I think there was like a nice like mix of like, oh my god, it's Spider-Man, and then oh my god, he looks like a cartoon.
I also saw people bitching that he looked like he got punched in both eyes because he had like all big black things around his face. I was just like, are you serious? Come on.
I mean, there's no need to nitpick.
I do.
Dick pick?
I can't fucking talk today. I guess that's normal. But I mean...
I think it's a little unpolished. I will say that.
But it's fine. There's plenty of time for that to exactly. Get polished.
And I think, though, I like that they're doing... I mean, he did, though, look 100% CGI, which I wish he looked more of Deadpool CGI with a costume and how he's looked in other movies. With a, I like the concept that they're going is with the Deadpool eyes where he can have a little more facial with, because those eyes, they kind of like, look mm-hmm. like they kind of squinted a bit in the trailer. So that's a good part for them to go to, except instead of the normal, just flat, like lens eyes.
Uh-huh.
Good move on that part, but it still looks a little more cartoony. I do like that he stole the Cap's shield.
Yes. And
the thing you posted cracked me up too.
Oh yeah.
The Bugle post.
Yes, I loved that. And I also saw somebody took a screenshot of that and then added Iron Spider's legs.
Well, that's the thing. They've
to the back
said,
of them.
They have said that there are going to be two Spider-Man suits. And this also, this trailer actually, I started thinking, he's going to have a little bit bigger part than just a quick cameo. Because I'm thinking, well, wait, maybe this just is the cameo. But no, I think there's going to be more than just him showing up.
There has to be.
There. In the two suits, everyone's saying, okay, his normal suit and the Iron Spider suit, where that's the one that everyone wants to see, and that's not what they showed there.
Right.
So, Iron Man saying, under ruse or whatever, I don't know if that's just back to the days of Spider-Man, you know, underwear, or if he's saying because he's not in his armor,
right.
So that's what he's calling that suit. Either or, I can't wait to see what he looks like.
You know, do I think that it looks unfinished? Yes. Do I think it'll look better in the movie? 100%. There's no way.
Yeah, they don't fuck up shit like that.
No. There's no way Marvel's going to release. It needs to be finished.
Everything that they've done, though, and it just boggles my mind how good CGI has come. Have you ever looked at an old, like, King Kong, Godzilla movies were people in suits.
Right.
So they could just film that normal. But old King Kong... and like even things about dinosaurs, Land of the Lost stuff, claymation type things, stop motion and stuff. Where how she's, but back in the day, people thought that looked real,
right?
Like I almost feel like people of yesteryear were just dumb when it came to movies. Like, how do you think that? And then I also wonder if you transported one of them to like a 3D Avatar movie here, like if they would lose their shit,
their brains would explode.
Yeah. So going on to. Marvel hasn't fucked up ever. It doesn't look like claymation shit. It just looked a little...
It just needs to be blended in more.
But
even that finishing
seeing
touch.
More of T'Challa, having some more action scenes to be... Because most of the scenes are pretty much what they've shown in most all the trailers.
Yep.
But they just seemed a little more extended, a little bit different angles.
Well, and I like how this one got more into, like, it made it seem more than just Captain America versus Iron Man because of Bucky. They definitely got more into like the underlining
reasons for
New York and all the other disasters that happen, and that's why they're going to be fighting, as opposed to Bucky's my best friend and you can't arrest him.
Yeah,
that seems like a stupid reason to start a war. And fear itself is what you were looking for.
Yes, what did I say? Forever Evil. Yeah. So they started with an F.
There, yeah. Close enough.
Yeah. Close enough. It had letters.
Right.
I was going to go into something besides the Civil War thing. New Thor, She-Thor.
Jane.
What?
Jane Foster.
Yes.
Thor.
But it's just easier to say.
She-Thor.
She-Thor, yeah. Is supposed to be taking on Odin.
No.
In the books. I feel bad. It's not that I've not read... She-Thor because...
This makes me laugh every time you say that.
Because that she's a woman or anything, like, really, anyone that does reviews or gives their opinions will just get beat down in their opinions of, what, you didn't like it because of this, and, oh, you're a racist, or, oh, you're just gender equality and stuff. No, just sometimes we're just kind of saying how it is. I think it's good for everything I've heard. What I don't think is good is, how is she going to take on Odin? Odin would kick the shit out of old Thor.
It's true, and she has cancer.
Yeah. Well,
not as Thor, though.
Yeah, so that's why she's kind of mainly staying as Thor for a while. Kind of like how... But then Thor was just Thor instead of when going back to... Was it Blake? Was his...
I think that was his... Yeah, his human identity.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but then again... He's
Thor originally.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Odin would wipe the snot out of Thor easily. And Thor was Thor for a while.
Right.
He knows how to use all of his repertoire. Jane Foster Thor?
Right.
She's been Thor for just a little bit. I don't think she kind of has the balls to go up against Odin.
Well, maybe he's been weakened somehow? Or maybe he's going to have...
some crazy Loki magic?
What's her name? The Odin's wife.
Freya,
yeah. Because she took power for a while when Odin was gone. So maybe it's going to be like a whole woman's movement. And they're going to take them on together. I would read that.
Yes, you would.
Not just because I'm a girl, but maybe a little bit. Okay. So, do you guys read comics?
No.
You're an ass. On your
cell phone. Well, that was a dumb question. Do we read comics?
It was a dramatic pause while I gathered my thoughts. On your cell phones is what
sometimes.
I was. Do you? Do you like it? Would you rather read them in book form? Do you find any problems with them at all?
I like having a physical copy of stuff because I'm old school.
Right.
But I have read things on my phone. It's just, I find it kind of frustrating to like expand, shrink. It's just not a big enough medium for me.
It's hard to see details and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, and I guess I'm old and blind. So.
Yeah, I did it once and I used Comic Viewer at the time. And it was just too small to read.
Right.
Like, a tablet, I think, it's still a little bit smaller than pages, but it's
better.
Bigger enough that all you have to do is like small pinch zoom in and not move the page around a lot, where when you have a small screen, if you're zooming in to see that one panel, you're then scrolling to each panel trying to find out the panel layout, which isn't always just straight across in every comic book.
Yeah, sometimes you have to, some of them go up to down, some of them go left to right, some of them go diagonally.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest, I guess, movements in comics is the digital comics, and they do a ton of money every year, and I think that a lot of people, especially at the beginning, is how they're getting into comics, because they're just super easy to download and read. But, again, reading them on your cell phone sucks. So, one of the old editors from Dark Horse, Jim Gibbons, has started a new company called Stila. And what it is it's a mobile app / publishing company. So, what he's doing is you can download this app, and I think it's like $4.99 a month, and you get a certain number of pages per day. But the comics that he's putting out are geared specifically towards your cell phone.
So actually like one panel at a time
exactly,
or something of that nature,
yes.
So you can actually see it. Because that's always been the complaint.
Right.
Being like you have a whole page on a 4-inch screen, it's near impossible
yes.
to actually see anything.
Exactly. So it's interesting to see where this will go because, I mean, I personally like having the full page experience and getting like all of the panels together. But if the comics are written specifically for this format, then I don't know that it'll matter.
But then though, written straight for this format means that it's not written as in hand type print.
Right.
Which
that makes it pretty much a webcomic at that point.
Yes.
Okay.
And I would hope that it's ease of use to somehow make if you want to have on the go your normal reading the big ones. Because I only see smaller people doing this now because
right.
Marvel, I mean, they could do their own Iron Man, but why waste the talent and effort to make just this for this one thing when they need to get it to as many people as possible?
That's true. That's true. And so this will probably definitely be more very indie. I guess, you know, you got the tiers. You got super indie, like you can only get that from cons. And they're printed and stapled together by the person who made them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, that would be great then for some of them and the smaller. Right.
Exactly.
And I guess if that's where their medium goes to anyways, because for some smaller people making comic books, yeah, publishing, you're not getting it out right. into the masses.
Well, and the nice thing about this is, like, this company is actually giving artists and writers, like, a profit split. So they give them, like, a per-page amount at the beginning, and then they give them a percentage of the sales at the back end, too. So it's a great place for somebody to start, I think, if you're trying to get into comics. And it'll make it way easier to read comics in the grocery store line.
Really?
Besides Archie, because that's all that's ever there.
I haven't even seen Archie in the comic book line.
No?
Or in the sales checkout line. There used to be, and that's how I first got into comics was...
Mm-hmm.
There were some comics yep. on the little magazine racks.
They were
there.
Always Archie. That's all I ever always. Saw.
Just like and Archie I, magazine.
Yeah. I no, well, I guess it was the one D&W that I went to, and it was, they had X-Men and...
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's where I started picking wow. up comic books then. Fancy. We'd always want to go to that one, because we knew that they had comic books there. Not really knowing what comic book shops were at the time.
Right.
We were really young.
Well, that's... Why don't they do that anymore?
I don't know, to tell you the truth.
You would think that as a comic book company, you would want to get your product into as many places as possible.
I don't know if grocery stores necessarily want to stock them, though.
That's silly.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think a lot of published magazines now are, I mean, People or anything. I think they're every 2 weeks now coming out. They're not weekly. There's,
right.
like, some Entertainment Weekly. And there are companies that go in and do that for you, but
right.
which titles are you going to pull? Which one are you going to have? The Walking Dead? Are you going to have X-Men? Are you going to have just Batman or Superman? My Little Pony. That's a lot of inventory
that's
that
true.
Most stores don't want to deal with.
Right. And trying to choose what ones you're going to put out.
For the clientele that come in there, yeah, it
yeah.
could be a challenge.
I guess so.
So that's why, Linz.
Okay.
The more you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
No? No one's going to G.I. Joe that?
Okay. Snowing's half the battle. I didn't. What's that got to do with G.I. Joe?
Okay, moving on. So we got some booze news this week.
Oh, yeah.
Some sad booze news. The man, the most interesting man in the world.
I don't often drink beer, but when I do, it's not Dos Equis.
yes.
He's retiring.
Yes, and he had a long 7-year run.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good run for an advertising campaign.
Right.
Yeah. It randomly came out with the Heineken, who owns Dos Equis, was trying to get more of their...
millennial crowd, I think is what they called it.
Well, no, not just that. They were trying to get more of the import beer. I mean, Heineken is an import beer as
right.
well, but trying to grow that share. And to come up with... This is one of the most successful ad campaigns... As well as one of the longest. I know Budweiser with the Budweiser Frogs and the Clydesdale ones still always go on. People can recognize that with Bud, but Bud also is domestic, and that's,
right.
you know...
So much easier to...
Yeah, yeah. It's here. It's,
right.
It's on
everywhere.
Everything.
Yeah.
Dos Equis was nowhere.
No.
Until this ad campaign came on, which has then been memed so much.
Yes.
It is a part of culture now.
It is. And... Yeah, I still don't drink Dos Equis, but...
Oh, I do every now and then. It's not
if
bad.
If I'm at, like, a Mexican restaurant, it's probably what I will have,
yeah.
because it's...
That over
closest...
Corona.
Yeah.
Well, that's what... Well, we like more microbrew-type
right.
beers.
We are spoiled in the beer... In Beer
that's
City,
true.
USA.
That's true. We do
so.
Live in Beer City, yes.
And so, with that being said, though, they're retiring him, but not retiring the campaign. And this is where I feel...
They're rebooting him.
Yes. They're going to get a different, younger version of him to take his place, which I find... This is going to be the new most interesting
yeah.
man. I don't think you
he's going to have to step
it up
a notch.
Off.
I don't know how you're going to have a younger person that's not as experienced.
You know,
too.
And that's, I think that's the thing. This guy was old. I mean, he in real life, he's what, 77?
Yeah.
Fucking cool as shit. Like, how often do you look at somebody who's elderly and you're like, I wish I could live like them, even though it's not his actual life. It's a completely fictional life, but
it's a pretty sweet fictional life.
There's nobody out there who's 30, 40 years younger than him that have lived a more interesting life than
yeah, and that. I see that as gonna, and they know it too, though. They've been planning this for the past year and a half, knowing that we gotta retire him soon. So I don't see it going. They know that it could, they will get some backlash for that.
Yeah.
But they also have to continue going on. You can't.
And he's old. He's 77. They could also just be worried he's going to spontaneously die and ruin their ad campaign. So, I mean, that's probably something in the back of their minds, right?
That's true. Well, I would imagine.
He came from, like, nowhere as a small bit actor. But what he does in his free time, because I followed this documentary YouTube thing, he invests a lot of his time and money in uncovering, you know how there's landmines all around the world mm-hmm. from old wars and how many kids and people stumble on them. He's developing and trying to help people that come up with ways to detect or explode them and everything. And it was a really cool, I'm like
the landmine rats.
He is interesting.
Yeah, that's what, he's really interesting in real fucking life. Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. So, we'll miss him. I think they're wrapping up the ad campaign this year. It's not done yet.
Next 6 weeks. I think yeah. it's going, or not 6 weeks, because what are we at? April, May. Yeah, 6 weeks, I think, is what they're saying, because they wanted to kind of Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Drinko?
Yes, is where they kind of wanted to have the new and
yes,
the new campaign starting.
The pass off of the baton, which I'm sure is probably what it will entail. There's no way they're just going to stop and then start. There's going to be some sort of
passing of the torch.
Yes.
But yeah, like I said, he grew their business by like $325 million. He is 77, so
he's probably going to retire. Time to retire.
You'll just go do your other
more interesting things.
Yeah. Do real be the real interesting person. Make your own videos on YouTube and be like, that guy that drinks Dos Equis now, he ain't as interesting as me.
Look at what I did today. Oh, okay.
Speaking of booze.
Booze in a buck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this week we are pairing.
No, wait. Well, let's pair the comic book first, mainly because I read it. And I am a little offended.
By the pairing?
Yeah, but not really. I'm not really offended.
Too soon.
Not even that, really. It works only because, well, you'll understand why.
Yes.
So Transformers More Than Meets the Eye number 50. And if you guys aren't reading Transformers right now, this is following the Lost Light. This is the first part of the dying of the light, which that's their ship that they're on.
Okay.
What has happened throughout this whole run at IDW, which is just phenomenal, is Megatron has now more recently recanted his vision of being the bad guy and saying, holy shit, maybe Optimus Prime was right, but you need to have a leader. And instead of being sentenced to death, Optimus says, you know, you go join this. Now there's other factions, there's people that are behind the scenes that are continuing the Decepticon mantle. And that's really all I'm going to get into it, but Megatron being a good guy, which no one trusts, I fully trust, unless they're going to pull one out on me and the reader and make me really think that he is evil. He's still conniving, but he's not really doing, nefarious shit behind everyone's back. He's just doing kind of some subtle things just to get his way. Regardless, you should be reading that, and, well, Cars.
Yes, and so we're pairing this with, I'm going to leave this to the expert on this string.
Just because it's St. Patrick's Day, right?
Yeah. Straight up, just because it's St. Patrick's Day, we're going to pair this with a Paul Walker.
A Paul Walker.
Because there are vehicles and Transformers, and they turn into cars. A Paul Walker is an Irish car bomb that you immediately follow with a shot of Fireball.
It's probably one of the most offensive drinks ever.
And most hilarious.
Yes, it is super funny. So this is the first time I'd ever heard about this drink, and it made me giggle a lot. But it also made me want to do a bunch of Irish car bombs. Well, no Fireball afterwards.
Well, Thursday we'll be in Chicago. We could probably car bomb it up. So
yes.
Heading to C2E2.
Very exciting. So everybody look for us. We'll be drunk. Not drunk.
Probably not sometimes during the con. Drunk. Afterwards, definitely. Sometimes drunk. If you find us anytime afterwards, or maybe the middle, I don't know.
Yeah.
And we got those cool plastic flasks that can get by metal detectors. Gosh. So
yes.
We will be drunk.
Oh. Is Ink Whiskey going to be there this year?
I'm in contact with them. I'm hoping they are.
Yeah. Because
we're going to party it up, if so.
Awesome. Well, Ink Whiskey boys, hit us up.
Yeah. Anyone got any final thoughts?
I actually do for you, Tony. Continue my trend of making fun of you on final thoughts.
Well, fuck, does anyone else have a final thought?
Now I want to hear what this one is.
Tony, just remember, someday you'll have had sex for the very last time, and that time might have already been.
Oh.
So, Tony,
life advice for people?
I'm sad now.
You could have said that in general to other people, not just me.
I know, but now I'm thinking about it in terms of me. I'm like, oh.
Stay thirsty for drunken St. Patrick's Day one-night stands.
Good God, Tony.